Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us. And I'm not sitting in front of a computer, so I never know unless I peek around the corner and look at Ron as to where I'm talking to myself or not. But
I'll let you know if you.
I have found that I'm never talking to myself, not in this light, because it is very important, and it is being taped so others can hear it at other times, and I'm very appreciative of that. And also I heard from some that were on Zoom Saturday, and they said they got a blessing from that, and it brought up a lot of questions too. So that's good when you always get things that if you don't know the reasonable thing to do, I think, is ask. But the fact is the second thing is to pray that the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and understanding. And today's study is study number 90 in our study of I called it wisdom. And it's been about 2 years, because there was, I guess, a few weeks there that we didn't get to do it, especially when I had COVID. And so this has been going on now around 2 years with, looking at wisdom and trying to come up with the things that God has given to us in other dispensations. And we finally got down to these last 7 books, and it's been a wonderful journey so far through Philippians and Ephesians. And I'm kind of looking forward to Philemon, because I didn't realize that it kind of fit in with Philippians a whole lot until
Colossians 2.
I got getting involved in it. So we've made it down to the 13th verse. And of course, Ronnie has been going through the prayer situation. And so his prayer situation and my things in the Workman's Interlinear is got to the same place.
Kind of caught up with
last week. So this, if you heard some of this before, you might have heard it last Wednesday. But we're going to start with verse 13. But I want to read just a little bit in verse 12. And Paul says in 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which made us meet to be partakers. And to be partakers is for the share of the lot or the inheritance of the saints in the light. And that's 12. I just read that out of the King James Version to get going in 13. And we usually do the King James Version in a verse, and then do my notes, and then do Jack and Melda's Koine Greek thing, and then do Jack's notes. So that we do that in each verse. So and that's not it's kind of not scratching the surface in what we have right now, because what we have right now is really the bedrock of a lot of truth that Paul was given to give to us. And he tells us in Ephesians that it should be our vocation. Vocation, to me, is what you choose to make your living by. And Location is only used one time in Scripture. And that's when Paul said, you know, that what he has and what he is delivering to those now, even those he haven't seen in my face, it should be their vocation. It should be all of our jobs to put this out that others might know and come to the understanding of the mystery truth that God had left on the shoulders of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to start in verse 13. I'm going to read it the way it's in King James Version. It says, "Who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness, the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." And there's a semicolon there, so I know the punctuation was put in by people later on, but still, when we look at these things, we realize that this is not the rest of the story here. The colon, a lot of times, is the rest of the story, and I call that a full stop when I get to it. So here we are. In 13, it says, "Who delivered?" The "hath" there has been put in there, and it's omitted. We'll just omit that right away. "Who delivered us from the power," or "rescued us from," and that "from" there is the English EK. Ek, noting motion from within the interior.
And it's usually rendered "out from," isn't it?
Yeah. "Out from," yeah. And it's noting motion from within the interior, use of time, place, and origin. And so it rescued us from the power. And the power there, you can find that in the Companion Bible on Appendix 172-5, and that equals authority. And you're going to see that tonight in several of the verses, or three or four of the verses, talking about this subject. And power there equals authority of the darkness. And I put my notes in there that Satan had us under his malicious power one time in our life. One time in our life we needed to be rescued. And certainly, the Lord is able to do that by his precious blood and also by being chosen from before anything was ever created, with the agreement that he made with his son. "And hath translated," and "translated" is in the Strong's, and it's 3179, that's Methistema, and it means to remove us. And you could also say to place us into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his great love. And so Jack said this, reading it out of the Koine, and I can't read Koine, so I have to do it in English. But translated down, it says, "Who delivered us out of the authority of the darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of the love of him." And so that's the way it comes out of the Koine Greek. In the more modern English, is "Who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love." And so, that's the way it came out of the Greek. And Jack's notes is this: God the Father delivered us out of the authority of darkness. Satan had us under his power. It says, see Ephesians 2:2, and we're going to go there and look in a minute, I think. And he says, he had authority over us. God the Father challenged that authority on the grounds of the blood reconciliation of the cross. So God translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. His beloved Son offered His life, the sacrifice for sin, so that this awesome translation could be effected. The kingdom is unexcelled and always and will always be. Speak of love. Love of the Father for His Son. Love of the Son for His body. No wonder He is known or called as the Son of His love. So, two or three places we want to look at here. Let's go back to Ephesians 2:2 for just a minute. And it hasn't been many studies ago that we were there, but go back to Ephesians 2:2. It says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So that's what we find in Ephesians 2:2. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians for just a minute. 1 Corinthians 13. That's on page 1718 if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to look at 13:2, and it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burnt, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. 1 Corinthians 13:2 and 3. Then I want to go back to Acts for just a minute. And I want to look at Acts 13. In Acts 13, 16 through 23, that's on page 1610. 16 to 23. And this is Paul speaking here in Acts 13. And when he gets up to speak, even if people don't agree with him, they still listen to what he has to say. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel and you that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when He had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan. He divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterwards, they desired a king. And God gave them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And I have added into my Bible, after the word will, all of God's wishes or desires. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, whose name is Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. This is who we're talking about here. This is who we're talking about is Christ Jesus, the one that has delivered us from the power of darkness. In verse 14, let's go back to the King James again, and it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And here we have the full stop. So, you know, you need to read 13 and 14 together to get the full benefit of this, but we're doing it verse by verse. And there's nothing really wrong with that. But we need to look at everything that we have been given by men who have studied and spent their entire life and their whole vocation in trying to get the Word of God to where we can fully understand it, or understand it with every little jot and tittle. And that's part of our vocation, is learning these little jots and tittles.
Yep.
Because they, in the Hebrew and in the Greek both, they mean things. They mean something. And it may not be the long words, but the little words that gives us understanding. So it says, in whom there? Christ is who we're speaking of, being the in whom. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's just a short verse. But I want you to think on something for a minute. When Christ created, he created what God's will was, what God wanted. Christ was the fabricator. And he cut and carved it out of himself. And that's hard to get your mind around, I know, but that's truly what it means. But you see, he was with the Father for all these aeons. We don't know how many or how long in man's time it would have been until he made Adam. And Adam was the will of the Father because he said, let us make man in our image. But Christ and the Father had already made the agreement that at one time he would come and take care of men's failures because Satan was still in the realm. And we find that Christ laid his glory aside. Now, if you can get your mind around that. And he was placed in the womb of a young woman that had never been married, but was getting ready to be married as a one single cell being. That's where doctors will tell us if the act is done by mankind today that there might be millions of those in one single time of copulation. But this one single sperm, if you call it that, was what was left of the Lord Christ Jesus. And he came as God's man to the earth. Before that, he had no blood. Did you hear what I said? He was spirit. He had no blood. He could not do what he promised the Father that he would do in the situation that he was in before.
Mm-hmm.
So a change had to be made.
Yep.
And so he came and he grew up. And when he was 30 years old, he started preaching because he wasn't married and he was not a man of his own until he was 30 years old, according to the law of the Jews. And so therefore, what he said before that time could be held against him, and his mother and father would have to pay the price for it, maybe. But you see, when he went to the cross, and all that had been laid out by God beforehand, because you never catch God off guard. He knows everything. His wisdom is, really, we can only have a scratch of his wisdom, because that's all we could handle.
Amen.
We couldn't handle that in human form, and from the dust of the earth, which was made from Christ, we couldn't handle it. But you see, he came into his own, and his own received him not. And the man they brought him before to charge him said, I don't find any problem with this man. There ain't no cause of death in him.
Amen.
And he says, I'm going to wash my hands of this. And he did. He did. And he said, you know, you have in your writings, you have a way to put him to death or a prisoner. And they said, give us Barabbas. And they did. And he went to the cross and he shed some of his blood there on the cross on Golgotha. And the rest of the blood was taken to the Holy of Holies in heaven and given for our sins. All of our sins. You know, the Jews had to go once a year to Jerusalem and take an animal and go to the high priest. And there could be a lot of people use that same animal for their sins. That you had to touch that animal. You had to touch his horns or whatever the sacrifice was. And that had to be done once a year. Because evidently, it only lasted once a year, but now what the Lord did for us was forever.
once for all.
It was forever. No more. He don't have to go back anymore. For the sins of mankind, for the sins of the world. He took care of that if you come to, if you come to believe that.
Amen.
It is the believing that makes it worthwhile. It is not telling God what you've done, because He already knows what you've done. So it ain't
sin. You're not enlightening Him.
It ain't saying, God, forgive me for this, that, or the other. He already knows that. But it is, yeah, Lord, I believe that. I truly believe that. Deep in my heart, I believe that. And that's what counts. So here we are in 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, full stop. I got one place that I want you to look there. Turn with me to Romans 3. It's on page 1668.
I'd have bet Hebrews 9, but I'd have lost.
1668. If I wrote it down right. Yep, I believe I did. We're going to look at Romans 3:23, 24, and 25. Says, for all have sinned. Page 1668, Romans 3:23, 24, 25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, full stop. See, when you get the full stop, either the good stuff is just before the full stop or just after. Sometimes it's because of the way the verses are laid out. It says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And I'll just do 26. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness. And that's the full stop. That He might be just and the justifier of him which believe in Jesus. Not one that repented, but one that believed in him. Guess what? Okay, let's see what Jack wrote about it. In 14. And out of the coin A, it says, in whom we have the redemption, the remission of sins, and it's the same thing in the English version. It doesn't change in the more modern English version. And so Jack's notes are this, and Mel, as I'm sure she helped him a lot with it, the Gnostic heretic had a perverted notion of God's redeeming of the world. The word here speaks of personal redemption in Christ Jesus, our personal Lord and Savior. The sins may have been duly paid for in His blood. The holiness of God is maintained. We have now not a heavy load of sin to carry. And it says, for my yoke is easy, he said. Read Romans 3:24-25. I added a verse before it and one after. And so that's, we have already read that, so there's no point going back reading it again. Now let's go on down to 15 and just keep chunking in this, because it's good stuff.
Amen.
It is really the nuts and the bolts of doctrine.
Where we are. Yeah.
It says in 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? And here's another full stop. So this one verse tells you something in that verse that is truly needs to be known. So 15, let me read you my notes. Who is the image or the icon? And that's the substance and true likeness in every respect. The Godhead is alike, in every respect of the invisible God, the firstborn, the never to die again, one with dominion that Adam lost, he says, of every creature. That is a full stop. Here's another thing that we need to think about. Again, no one has seen God at any time except when the Lord came as God's human for mankind. Our kinsman redeemer evidently still had that look of God. If you want to kind of know what it is.
Well, you remember he told them when he was with them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
I am the physical embodiment representation of the Father in heaven.
Of the Father, yeah. And so therefore, that was the only opportunity that man had in them 33 years.
But all that did was just infuriate him.
Yeah. To make him mad.
Right. Who do you think you are?
Yeah. You call yourself God. You can't be that. I know your daddy. His name was Joseph. And he wasn't Joseph. But they didn't know better. Didn't know better then. Okay. 15. Koine Greek. It says, Christ is the icon of the invisible God. Actually, this refers to the substance or the being of the Godhead fully. Christ is the very icon or the exact image of, exactly of being of the Godhead. This is true because God is three persons, but only one being of substance. Read Philippians 2:6, Hebrews 1:2, and 1 John 1:1. Therefore, remember this now, therefore, he is not like God. He is God, the same as the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God.
Amen.
All three are one. These three persons of the Godhead have one being, which is one and the same substance, but they all don't have the same job to do.
Same characteristic, yeah.
Okay.
Once you can finally get your brain around the triunity of the Godhead, then it's easier to... And you know how they revere each other.
Yeah.
And how they work together.
Yeah, there's no splintering in there.
No, there's no contradiction, no problems, no nothing.
Yeah. No. Here's the rest of Jack said. He has said he is the firstborn of every creation. in that he rose from the dead, and he authenticated his dominion over all his creation. See Revelation 1:5. It must be believed that the creation of all is Christ.
Yep.
And so we got three or four places there that we need to look at. Okay. First off, we're going to look at 2 Corinthians again. 5:17. On page 1735. And I've got it here marked out. Let's see. We're going to look at chapter 5 and verse 17. Okay. Therefore. So we need to know what therefore is therefore. So let's go back to 16. You know, I used to think about a railroad crossing with a X mark there because, you know, it had to stop, look, and listen on it. And so this is what I think therefore is therefore. Wherefore, henceforth know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now henceforth, we know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, full stop. Old things are passed away. Behold, or look on this, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Why? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. He was bringing everything back to a way that could be redeemed that Adam lost and was expelled out of the garden. The first Adam didn't do it. But the second Adam truly did do it. Okay, let's look at some of the others. Oh, this is good stuff. Let's look at Psalms. Next, Psalms 89, 27, page 808. So we're going to drop back. To 808. Got a good long ways to go yet. Oh, here it is. I think. No. I'm almost there. I'll get there in a minute. Psalms 808, page 808. Psalms 89, 27. We're going to start at 27 anyway. Also, God says, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. And his seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven.
Yeah.
Woo! Go with me back. Gospel of John, first chapter. John 1:1. This is page 1512 in the Companion Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. I'm going to add Christ there. And without Him was not anything made that was made.
Kind of lines right up with Colossians 1 and 15.
Yeah.
1 and 16.
1 and 16.
Yep.
My notes in 1:16 is a full page in my
notebook. Oh, yeah. Should be.
I couldn't.
It should be.
Anyway. So, that's it. Let's go back to Philippians for just a minute. We ain't been out of Philippians long, but Philippians 2:5 is something we might need to look at again. 2:5 and 6. And I hate to get rid of my old Bible, but it, boy, it's getting weather-beaten. And it should. Everybody's Bible ought to be getting the edges kind of frayed up a little bit. Philippians 2:5 and 6. Where else can you get this information? He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. This is what he did of himself. This is what he promised the Father. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Yep.
Okay. You got all that down pretty good now. 12, 13, 14, 15. How much time we got, right?
It's 9:21.
Huh?
It's 9:21.
I know it was going to work out.
Yeah, these verses, I'm surprised you've actually got as far as you have tonight in these verses.
16.
That's why it took me 3 Sundays to get through Colossians, and I still ain't through.
Yeah, because it generally 4 or 5 verses.
Even skimming the surface, you can't do it quick.
Yeah, it's hard. Okay, I'm going to read it. I'm going to go for the 10 or 15 minutes. It says, because we got a little late start. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him, Christ, and for him, Christ. So, he had the preeminence. When the Father and the Son decided to create, when in their minds to do these things, it was new thoughts. We don't know whether they'd ever had that thought before or not. We don't know. And I'm going to read you my notes, and that might be all the time I have, but I don't know. It said, for or because because in him, or by, or remaining in him, were all things created, brought into being by the will of the Godhead. They that are in heaven, or the upon heavenlies, and that are in the earth, and that little word there is the word G-E. And that means land as distinct from water, or earth, as distinct from heaven, but also can be regions, territory, and country. All that are in earth, the word G. Visible. Visible is in the Strong's 1307. And it is in the Strong's 1307, and it is used only here. One time. Horatos. It means capable of being seen. And I got by mankind, but some things can be seen by mankind at times, and at other times they can't. And I'll give you a disclaimer on that. Eve was seen by Satan, and Satan by Eve in the Garden of Eden. And she thought he was a god because he was counted as the one of light because of his coverings. He's covering from the earth, and he had the power, the fire of God within him. And Satan is not made of the earth, but his coverings are made of the earth. He could be seen at that time in that way. And we also, and they could, also, at different times, see angelic beings and realize that they were of God. Abraham didn't have a problem with being visited by an angel.
Yeah, because he was.
And a lot of things. And it says, you know, we might have been had angels to visit us, and we didn't know it. Because we can't tell them. We can't see them. See? So, there's a disclaimer there a little bit for mankind. And you have to kind of do that to get involved in this. The visible things, horatos, or the invisible. And that's Strong's 517. And it's used, five times. And they're all in Paul's writings.
I can believe that.
Well, think about that. What Paul had put on his shoulders were things that men had never seen. Couldn't know. Ahoratos. Or Ahoratos. Things that man cannot look upon, whether they be in our now state, thrones, a place, or a seat of power of a potentate, or dominions, is 2963 in the Strong. And it's only here in the word in the Greek is kori adage. And I know that's not a very good pronunciation. That's the best I can do. And that means mastery of government as rulers with power to seize, to retain, to hold, or keep, and they are called lordships. Okay. And then you have
a created order.
That's dominions, lordships. Then we go to principalities. It's 746. And the word there is archaea. Archaea. A commencement or chief of order of law, or a leader of law in various applications. Also, time, place, or rank beginning with magistrates. This is where we get our basic law understanding is out of the Word of God. In its courts of rank or rule, it can be a chief priest or one as with, or a priest with rank over other priests. It can be a head of the synagogue service. It can be a shepherd. And it can be a horse ruler. Everything that has rank or control.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even people or animals. And it can even be a governor. And sometimes he acts like an animal. Places where you have a governor. And all of our states have governors. And a lot of times we don't agree with them. Okay. So that is the word principalities. Now, we got one more. Powers. And that word in the Strong's is 1411, and it's dunamis. Specific power related to miraculous power or an abundance of might, strength, and wondrous work. Now, that's one kind of power. At one time, that was given to a lot of men who could heal and do these miraculous things, and to other people that God chose to do certain things. Okay. And so that power there is plural. So there's other powers also. And it's written by Paul and exousia. In the sense of ability or control of force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, delegated influence, liberty, with power of right or strength. All these were created, and that created there is punctuary time, 2936 in Strong's, and the word in the Greek is ketizu. And it's through the idea of the proprietorship of the manufacturer to fabricate or form originally to make. And it's in the aorist tense, and that is to make without a limit set. So the Son, when the God Father wanted it made, the Son could make it in his own limit of space that he needed to make it. And so we don't know how many aeons that might have been away from us, but we do know this. We can go out here. We can dig in the earth. We can find things that we can't really explain. We can find bones that, we put together and make things that looks like these big things that we've never seen before, and we call them all kinds of dinosaurs things and mastodons and all this kind of jazz. And when God makes it, when Christ makes it for the Father, He makes it perfect. And perfect there means to us and shows to us that nothing need to be added to it. If Christ Jesus makes it, it's perfect. You can't say, I don't know any other word that I could get to describe that. And I looked for the ad or sense tense, but I didn't come up with a whole lot. It may be written somewhere else. So that's my notes on this one verse of scripture.
Oh yeah.
And it's loaded down. We could talk about this for
You could literally
several hours.
You could literally do 6 or 8, maybe even 10 studies easy off of this one verse.
Yeah. And so that's just basically scratching the surface. We will stop here and we'll do the rest of it down out of the Koine Greek, because Jack and Mella has come up with a...
They probably got a page and a half or 2 pages too, don't they?
They've got a page there kind of laid out and set up the way that it's supposed to be shown.
Yep.
And I can't show it to you over this microphone here because that's all I've got. But it is truly...
Kind of the structure of
a structure, a worthwhile structure of this one verse. And so far, you know, he's done this. This is the first time that he's pulled it out and done it in a structure type thing. So
in the workman's. Yeah,
in the workman's interlinear. And that's what I'm pulling a lot of my stuff from, that and the Strong's and out of the Bible. So that's what we've got. And I figured it would, where we were and where we were going to get wasn't going to be that far. But and it goes on. That's just getting down to the nuts and the bolts of the doctrine of it, because Paul has written Colossians that man does not need to go back into ceremonial stuff and the smoke and
the rudiments,
the smoke and the swinging pots and all this thing that man has come up with. What Christ did, He paid for it all. And now it can become perfect again only if we believe it. And only, too, as a vocation for us, that if we can get it in our mind to where we can show or tell other people what's there for them if they have been chosen to understand it. But you got to get your mind, you got to get your heart in tune with your indwelling Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In order to fully, truly understand what it is that God laid on Paul's shoulders. And so here we have about 2,000 years since he done that, close to it, 1,900 and something years, that he laid on Paul's shoulders. And Paul says, I got to tell you so you'll tell somebody else. And that should be the main theme of why we're here. I think it's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
That if I just said, Lord, I believe this much, but I don't believe the rest of it, I don't think I probably wouldn't be here tomorrow.
Yeah. It's kind of an all or nothing thing. Yeah,
it is. Honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It truly is. So, I haven't got much done at home this week because I've been looking and looking and looking.
Amen. Good stuff.
And it's still out there to get. Because I tell you for a minute, I don't know it all. I don't even know. I'm thinking a lot of times I don't know very much about it. I try to get and give what the Spirit gives me to give to you that are here today listening.
Amen.
And I thank you for being here, really. And I think you're here not because of me, but because the Lord has appointed you this time to sit and to hear His word as good as I can put it out, or as bad as I might put it out. But as long as Christ gets preached.
Amen.
That's the
great. And the Spirit uses it, you know. Regardless of what you put out, I think the Spirit uses it according to its pleasure and will. Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you much.